My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in 2016, I had the opportunity to travel Italy, and I enjoyed places like Rome, Assisi, and Pompeii. I was fascinated especially by the city of Pompeii, looming above the volcano of Mount Vesuvius. Accordingly, 1900 years ago, the volcano erupted. When the eruption ended, the city of Pompeii lay buried under 18 feet of volcanic ash. The city remains that way until modern times, when archaeologists excavated it, and when they found amazed everyone what they found. There we saw carbonized loaves of bread, fruit still remaining its flavor, and olives still swimming in their oil. But there were even more amazing discoveries. The volcanic ash had frozen people in the exact position they had occupied when the disaster struck. The bodies of the people decayed, as they did, they left behind hollow cavities in the hardened ash. By pouring liquid plaster into these cavities, archaeologists were able to make casts of the victims. Some of the casts evoke an emotional response. For example, there I saw one is that of a young mother hugging her child tightly in her arms. Another is that of a Roman sentry still at his post, standing erect, fully armed. He had remained calm and faithful to his duty to the end. A third I saw is that of a man standing upright with a sword in his hand. His foot is resting on a pile of gold and silver. Scattered about him are five bodies, probably would be looters he had killed. The plaster casts illustrate in a dramatic way, my dear brothers and sisters, the two themes of today's reading. The first theme is that of the sadness in which the end of the world will come. And the second coming of Jesus will take place. These two events will come without warning, as a thief comes at night, and they won't play favorites. They won't care if we are rich or poor. They won't care if we are young or old. They won't care if we are known or unknown. They won't care if we are black, white, or brown, or yellow. They will come with the same sadness for everyone. And this brings us to the second theme of today's reading, our preparedness for the end. Will death find us prepared for the end, like the wise bridesmaids in the gospel? Or will it find us unprepared, like the foolish bridesmaids in the gospel? Will we hear the terrifying words they heard as they knock at the door, "I do not know you"? Or will the end find us like the man at Pompeii, who was clutching a sword, standing up, standing on the top of a pile of gold and silver? Or will it find us like the mother who was hugging her child in the final gesture of love? Or will it find us like the Roman sentry who was frozen in a posture of fidelity of his duty? My dear brothers and sisters, the two themes of today's readings, the suddenness of the end and our own preparedness for that event, for that end, are sovereign themes. They are gusty themes. They are the kind of themes we can change our lives. They are not themes we can listen to in a detached way. They are themes we can dismiss this casually. These themes, my dear brothers and sisters, are packed with the power of double-edged sword that the letter to the Hebrews talks about. It says, the word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts all the way through to where joints and marrow come together. It judges the desires and thoughts of man's heart. There is nothing that can be hid from God. Everything in all creation is exposed and lies open before his eyes. And it is to him that we must all give an account of ourselves. Today's themes, my dear brothers and sisters, suddenness and preparedness, are fitting themes for the church to set before us at the end of the liturgical year. They are the same two themes Jesus set before his disciples at the end of his life. Today's themes, suddenness and preparedness, invite us to ask ourselves this question. Is our present situation in life more like the foolish bridesmaids or more like the wise bridesmaids? If it is more like the foolish bridesmaids, let us not lose heart. For there is still time to correct the situation. If it is more like the wise bridesmaids, let us thank God for the grace and wisdom to follow his words. Let me close with a story. It will illustrate what today's readings are invited us to do. 10 years ago, my cousin, who was a Catholic nun, discovered that she had a cancer. 36 hours after the cancer was discovered, she was in surgery. And looking back over those 36 hours, Sister Yuli, as we called her, said she learned two important things about herself. First, she learned that she was not afraid to die. She had prepared for this moment while living. Second, she learned that Jesus was her friend. From her youth, sister had made it a habit to talk to Jesus daily. She said she used the same memorized prayer. Now, in her moment of need, that prayer make her aware of the deep relationship it had helped her cultivate with Jesus. And some of you may recognize this prayer. It is called the prayer after communion to Jesus crucified. I have prayed this prayer too after all my masses. And it reads, "Here I am, good and gentle Jesus, kneeling before you. With great fervor, I pray and ask you to instill in me genuine conviction of faith, hope, and love, true sorrow for my sins, and a firm resolve to amend them. While I contemplate your five wounds with great love and compassion, I remember the words which the prophet David long ago put on your words. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones." Amen.